so the husband and wife team argue over interpretation of data?
You will. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. It's a pleasure to be with you, and thank you for coming. Yesterday, two of us stood here, and without blinking, I said, if you're planning to do joint research with your spouse, think twice. Today I say, if you're planning to present a paper with your spouse, don't do it. Allow me to give you some very, very brief and very encyclopedic information about Turkey so that you can place the results into some sort of a perspective. Republic of Turkey has a population of 72 million people. Over 98%, nearly 99% are Muslims. Of these, 20% are Alevis. That's an Islamic sect, quite liberal in its political outlook, quite liberal in its social outlook. At times, you find some friction between the majority Sunnis and the Alevis, but it's diminishing, hopefully, and they will find enough room to cooperate and understand each other quite well. Since the Islam, despite certain efforts, are still very personal to Turks in general. There are some people who would like to institutionalize Islam, but nevertheless, it still remains very personal. Turkey has been a secular state since the establishment of the Republic in 1923, specifically after the abolition of the Caliphate in 1924. Despite some changes in the constitution over the decades, secularism still remains as a pillar in the state institutions. Present government in Turkey certainly leaning towards Islam. But in my opinion, they are not seeking to bring Sharia. They are not seeking to make everything Islamic and strict Islamic application. Allah? No, I don't think so. What they want to do is bring certain ethical and moral values of Islam into economic and social practices. In Turkey, schools are varied. There are state schools, private schools, foreign schools, vocational schools, and some schools established by religious groups. However, the Ministry of Education centrally dictates the textbooks and the curriculum. I will single out one school which Dr. Deraya interviewed three of the teachers there, Imam Hatip Lisesi. That is the schools, secondary schools, which graduate imams, prayer leaders, and religious officials, religious leaders. These schools originally go earlier than that, but officially, let's say, established in the very early 1950s. Today number approximately 600, and 10% of the secondary school age students attend Imam Hatip Lisesi. There, they take religious education as well as education prescribed by the Ministry of Education in Ankara. That means, of course, extremely heavy work for them. Indeed, often 8-9 hours of work every day. Girls are, young women and men are not separated. They take classes together. And they are quite successful in their future applications to universities. However, there is one issue that the present government, despite its Islamic leanings, could not solve. There's an opposition by the army, there's an opposition by the Ministry of Justice, there's an opposition by some intellectuals, there's an opposition by some university organizations. That is this. The graduates of Imam Hatib schools must score higher in order to enter the universities. Points are deducted from, actually deducted their, from their exams, so that making making way for graduates of other schools. They are at a tremendous disadvantage. The government could not solve this problem. Secondly, despite its secularism in Turkey, and the principle of secularism is really applying, some people argue that secularism should mean really separation of religion and state. Therefore, state should not interfere with religion, neither should religion with the state. Well, that's not quite so. Even earlier times during the Ottoman state, state always overpowered religion. Still it does today, despite the fact that this government, with great majority, is in power and cannot do anything. One of the serious issues in Turkey today, and that will be the last point I will make, is headscarf issue. Today, the Muslim woman, Dr. Deraya might like to talk in more detail about this.
Not today.
Muslim woman cannot enter university if they have headscarves. They cannot teach at the universities if they have headscarves. They have to take their headscarves off in government offices as well as the courts in the country. So there's a certain degree of deprivation. I must admit, men dress almost any way they want. I mean, you look at the man, you say, my goodness, I don't know. You know he's a Muslim. No question about that. No question about that. Nobody stops him at the university door. Women, they do. I will leave it here. Now, the research in Turkey, the research in Canada, was conducted entirely by Professor Deraya. Research in Turkey, my contribution was really minimal. And we also had a young scholar, dashing young scholar, who helped us in Turkey as well. I will leave it there and turn the paper to Professor Deraya. Quite frankly, as I said yesterday, she owns this research, not me.
Thank you very much, Professor Tsirkan. Buon après-midi, mesdames et messieurs. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for still being here. Before I start, I must thank my RAs, my research assistants in Toronto as well as in Turkey for all the time and contribution that they actually made to this study. The focus of my study today actually is on our team's experience of data collection in Toronto and in Turkey. But before that, I like to just shortly briefly provide you what happened to the rest of it. Oh no, this is the title. Yes. Going to how creation and evolution is mentioned in, or the Quran is dealing with these two issues. To start with, I should inform you that the Quran does not use only one term for evolution. It uses several terms. I think something happened to our PowerPoint. It's okay though. Those slides were not deleted. So, creation or knowledge in the Quran. Quran has 114 chapters and 6,291 verses or ayahs. In all these verses, only 86 verses deal with directly with law proper. The rest of them covers majorly certain, and I apologize for using the term myth, religious myth. I like to clear myself in here. When I say myth, I am not suggesting the recent English connotation of myth. I mean religious stories that are mentioned in the Quran. So mainly, most of the verses are dealing with those. The Quranic version of these stories are short, and they are often narrated slightly differently than the Judeo-Christian versions. And that is owing to the fact that Muhammad's audience in Mecca as well as in Medina, meaning the pagans, the Jews, and the Christians, were already aware of the longer version of it. So, Quranic versions are short. Now, the story of creation, the Quran uses several terms, as I said, and I'll show it to you now. On 2559, the Quran uses the term khalaqa. He who created khalaqa, the skies and the earth and all that is in between, in 6 days, then is firmly established on the throne, most gracious. He didn't need to rest, as is the version in the Hebrew Bible and the Christian version. He just created everything in 6 days. It does not give the account of the creation, day by day account of the creation. This broad verse played an important role in history of science in Islam, meaning the fact that it doesn't say the first day he created this, second day this, played a role, provided more option for interpreters, for commentaries on this verse. Among the terms used in the Quran are bada'a, fatara, khalaqa, and I apologize for my pronunciation, my Arabic pronunciation. My Arabic knowledge is very, very good. My pronunciation is not very good. It's a Persian pronunciation, and I think my Professor Blatter found my pronunciation rather cute, so he did not correct it when I was taking the course with him. So, Jala, Bara'a, Nasha, and Sawa. Now, each one of them provides a different definition. For example, when we say Bada'a, Bada'a is not just a creation. It is a creation that is out of nothing. Something new is created when the verse is talking about bada, such as creation of the sky, creation of which is heaven, in fact, in the Quran, or the stars. Now, when nasha is used and bara is used, it also provides the definition, meaning that this is a creation, but it would evolve to something more complete, something else perhaps. The term khalaqa and sawa are used often for creation of human beings. Khalaqa and sawa. Sawa means to bring into perfection, meaning when God created Adam, after creation of Adam, it was another stage of creation, which was Sawa, to make Adam distinct from other creations, to bring Adam on top of his creation. Now, among Muslims, there are different positions held on evolution. These different opinions we covered this morning, so I'm going to go through it. Some suggest that Quran, in fact, confirms with evolution. Some suggest that evolution is absolutely contrary to the Quran, and some are in between the two. But on the question of knowledge or ilm, that is something else, as they discussed it this morning. There are about 132 verses in the Quran that uses the term ilm in the Quran. Ilm means knowledge. Nothing there. I have to go fast through this, so before that. Ilm is knowledge. This knowledge is created by Allah. Allah has this knowledge, and He has created this knowledge. Allah also has passed this knowledge, or ilm, to Adam, and then to his prophets, to take the ilm and knowledge to all humans. Now, the more humans know about this knowledge, according to the Quran, they get closer to the source of knowledge, which is Allah. So, in that sense, scholars suggest that the Quran does not stop Muslims from getting involved in knowledge, because knowledge is well recognized. Now that you have this brief, very brief information concerning Islam and knowledge and evolution, I'd like to move on and talk to you about our research in Toronto. But before that, I'd like to provide you with some information concerning Muslims in general in Canada. Muslims form the third largest religious group in Canada, after Catholics and Protestants. According to the 2001 census, the Muslim population increased during the decade between 1991 and 2001 by 128%. It now stands at about 650,000. That is 2% of the total Canadian population. Muslims make up 5% of Toronto population and 3% of Montreal, according to Statistics Canada. Moreover, 20% of the members of the Canadian Muslim community possess a post-secondary education, while 1.5% hold a doctoral degree. In both cases, higher than the national average. It is also noteworthy that Muslim population in Canada has a median age of 28.1, compared to the national median age of 37.3. And young Muslims view education as very important to their socio-economic advancement in Canada. There are about 18 schools in the Greater Toronto Area, Muslim schools, 5 high schools, 6 elementary schools up to grade 8, and 7 Sunday schools. We collected data in Toronto. We initially began the study with the intention of covering Muslim students belonging to diverse sects of Islam, namely the Shiite currents of thought, including the Ja'fari, the Ismaili, and the Zaydis, the Sunni currents of thought, Hanafi, Hanbali, Shafi, Maliki, the Ahmadiyya, and even the Wahhabi. Although we contacted all the schools that operated by these communities by telephone, email, and left several messages, and we left 100 to 150 questionnaires in each school with the different administrations, in the end, we had our best response from the Sunni schools, receiving only 1 or 2 completed surveys from other schools, Shiite, Jafaris, and etc. That the great majority of the responses came from the Sunni schools is due to the fact that the schools are full-time schools and other schools are just Saturday schools. We tried to fill this gap because we didn't have diversity in our responses by including university student, first year and second year university student. So we distributed surveys among university students. And this is what we got. First, some demographic information. As you see, The majority of the responses are coming from female students, 69%. As I said yesterday, this has nothing to do that, you know, my field of study is gender and I'm feminist. I explain to you later why we have more women active in the responses. Now, the reason was that both the school administrations of boys' high school and the boys themselves appear to be reluctant to participate in our study. And I will tell you about this later on, the reason when I talk about the difficulties. Concerning the religion, we distributed this among Muslim schools and to Muslims only. Therefore, we had 141 Muslims, one Zoroastrian and one left it blank. These are demographic information that we obtained. We asked them if they had ever taken any high school biology courses. 67% of them answered yes. I included blank also, 6% blank. As for the coverage of evolution, 55% of them, the survey suggested that the science classes covered evolution fairly well. And we had about, no, that 0% is wrong. 40. Yes, thank you. That's 40%. 40% said, 40% said no. So we wanted to know whether they learn about evolution, and it seems that 80 of them, the great majority of them, they learned it from school, 12 of them from relative, 19 friends, 4 mosque, and 26 people, they just mentioned other. That encouraged us to put a box for Turkey, when we distribute questionnaire for Turkey, to ask other specify what, so that we would have a little bit more information on that. On the views on evolution, these are the part of questions from, I just picked a few of them, and the questions actually were 50 of them. There's a significant body of data which supports evolutionary theory. 24% agreed, and 52% suggested that they don't have enough data to support it. All living things on the planet come from the same common ancestors. 55% disagreed. All form of life, including bacteria, trees, fish, and humans, are related. 52% disagreed. Humans are the product of evolutionary process. 71% disagreed. Human beings, as we know them today, developed from early species of animal. It goes up, 82% disagreed. Their views on creationism. Humans exist today in essentially the same form in which they always have, 58% agreed. God created human beings pretty much in their present form at one time within the last 10,000 years or so, 55% agreed. As long as animals, 60 of these respondents were university students. As long as animals have been on Earth, animals always look pretty much as animals look today. In here, we see that they disagree. When they talk about animals, it appears that somehow they differentiate between humans and animals. Somehow, there is this belief that perhaps animals went through certain evolution, but not necessarily the humans. Your religion teaches that the first humans on planet Earth were created by God, not gradually, but suddenly in their present human form. 80% agreed. Evolution is best learned from holy book of your religion. 47% agreed. But one of them wrote a short note. The story of Adam and Eve or creation is included, but why must we take it literally? God created life, but through a very beautiful process. A university student. Now, accurate science should include religious explanation, 50%. In Turkey, we translated the questionnaires. The team at McGill University was provided with three versions of Turkish translation done by graduate students of Turkish heritage. Professor Turgay and the team at McGill University went through the translation, and finally they came with a modified copy of the translation, and we used that in Turkey. But before I... yes, that's good. Let's go to survey. Survey in Turkey, I must tell you first that this is based on only 288 responses. But we have more than that. So we have to wait until everything is analyzed, right? We have about 500. Yeah. 5 minutes. I'm going to move to my difficulties. He took all my time.
I told you.
Okay. I just want to show you very quickly. I interviewed three teachers in Turkey. One of them was teaching in Imam Hatip school. One of them was teaching at the public school, and the other one half-half. And I asked them certain questions, and I thought a few of these are very interesting. I make sure that my students distinguish between scientific theory and scientific facts. Therefore, I focus on scientific facts in my teaching. I asked him, actually, would he consider evolution as a scientific fact? He said no. Darwinism and all other evolution theories cannot scientifically be proven, and as such, I do not spend much time on them. Darwin's arguments are not foolproof, and there are many scientists who have challenged Darwinism. Difficulties. In both fields, in Toronto as well as in Turkey, our participants expressed certain concern. One was that the questionnaire was too long. They all complained. They were over almost 50 questions. The second one was the participants' reluctance to state their names on the consent form. They did not want to write their names, they would sign, or they just wanted to give a verbal agreement. And trust and security was something that was raised in Canada only, in Toronto only. The reason was because of the political environment right now around the issue. The school principals somehow walled their male students, and they didn't want their male students to get involved into the study. One reason was perhaps because this was right after the arrest of 16 allegedly terrorist young Muslim kids in Toronto. That played a role so that they would not allow their male student to get involved in this questionnaire, filling up the questionnaire. To wrap up, I hate that, Brian, when they tell me you have only 2-3 minutes. I lose everything. So, looking at the responses obtained during the qualitative interviews in Istanbul, Turkey, it can be said that the traditional religious view of creation and evolution theory predominates there, as will be verified through our analysis of the survey questionnaire. My research in Toronto indicates that the most participant in Toronto, most of them, they knew Harun Yahya. Most students in Istanbul knew Harun Yahya, not necessarily in the other part of the, other part of the country, he was not very well known. As for the Canadian Muslim students approached in this study, the result will be evaluated in light of the difficulties encountered by the researchers in obtaining a broader sample of opinion. The Islamophobic environment fostered by post 9/11 trauma, the misrepresentation of Muslim in the media, the conflict in the Middle East and at home, the 2006 arrest of alleged terrorist Canadian citizens, made many nervous about going on the record about creation and evolution theory. The issue of trust and security was only expressed in Toronto. In Turkey, our participants did not express any fear, nor were they hesitant to engage in the study. Unlike the Canadian Muslim participants in Toronto, in Turkey, the participants were not concerned about becoming target of discrimination based on religion, and they were not worried for their safety. Thank you very much.
We have time for a couple questions.
Yes, go ahead.
So, it looks like Canadians are doing worse than Egyptians and Russians.
In what sense you say worse? Define that word. In accepting. As I told you, and as I finished my presentation, this is based on 143 surveys in Toronto. And in Egypt and in Lebanon, it was a bigger response to the question. It could have made a difference if we would have taken the survey, we would have distributed the survey in public schools in Toronto, we would have included Christians and Muslims into the survey. These are all elements that one should consider. It doesn't mean necessarily that they are doing worse or better. Did I answer your question? I'm saying that the statistic is not including non-Muslims in this study, and it's not. Yeah, the numbers should compare. That is something that we will do later on, because we do have it from Egypt and from Lebanon. We will do that, and plus from Turkey, we have about 500 surveys received. So we'll let you know. Yes. Dr. McDonald.
I wanted to ask you about the Quranic uses of ma'rifa as compared to ilm.
Yes.
And the reason I ask that is that Fatima Marisi talks about the fact that her grandmother gave her a vision of Islam as a great and beautiful thing, and then the ulama came along and crushed it. And in my own experience, when I was 10 years old, my Sunday school teacher said to me, "You must never let them tell you you're descended from a monkey." And she said this in a tone of voice that I disliked intensely. And I thought about it all by myself, and I just said, "Oh yeah, I will so believe that. Oh yeah, her." But the thing is, I don't think that meant I was less religious. If I would say, if anything, more so, you know, than she was. And I think that what I understand by ma'rifa, one of my colleagues wrote a paper on animal life in Rumi. I felt, even when I was 10 years old, that the monkeys and the birds and so on, they're cousins, you know, we're all together, and this is all great. And to try to say that human beings are different and quite unlike everybody else, I thought was wrong then when I was 10 years old, and I still think so.
That's good.
So what about ma'rifa in the Quran?
The ma'rifa you're talking about? Ma'rafa is the term is orf, means that a person who is who's aware of what's going on, right? In that sense, you're talking about
as a way of knowing.
As a way of knowing.
Yeah, because you see, in English we just have this word know. In French we've got savoir and connaître and so on. So in different languages.
The ma'rafa is very close to savoir in French, right? And it is often used when humans are concerned for ma'rafa. Because wisdom, yes, wisdom is given to humans, according to the Quran. I'm not suggesting anything. Could be someone who's more intelligent than humans. Yes. Please.
I'm just curious, in the previous presentation, there was a question on the survey that was something to the effect, and I didn't write the exact language down, but about whether science classes should include religious explanations, which I'm interested in because it sort of connects to the third pillar I was talking about before. I'm wondering what the results were in Turkey on if you asked that same question and what the results were.
I don't know if I have it or not, and I can check it out and later. I'll give you all the information. I'll email it to you. Yes.
I have a question about the younger creationism and the 10,000-year-old. And I saw that in Canada you were finding that 55% of students believe, or Muslims believe in that. Which is surprising because you find that missing actually in other parts of the Muslim world. What was that same question asked in
yes, Turkey? Yes.
And in
Wait, I haven't touched it. I was cut by Brian. So we have all this. I'll give you all the information later. But it's not as high as what you see. In Turkey, it's lower.
Maybe because that goes back to this issue of sort of like the Western creationism really shaping up within the Muslim society.
Yes. Yes. Oh. There. Go ahead, please.
Beginning of the speech, you said something about the wording of the Quran about ilm and how creation happened. Would you say that the vague wording of these certain verses promotes further study of evolution and doesn't contradict it?
Okay. Let me put it this way. I would not use the term vague. I would say Quran is silent in details. Okay, provides just a sort of announcement on that. So that, yes, provides perhaps more opportunities for exegesis, for somehow relating it and saying that it is in agreement with evolution, perhaps. That's why there are some Islamists that suggest that Quran and evolution are compatible. In that sense, yes. I wouldn't do use the vague one. I would say it's silent in details. Any other question? Yes.
What was your most interesting finding to you?
In Toronto? Or in Turkey?
Both.
In both. Well, in I have to say, actually, in... I can't say it was my most interesting find. It was a very, very educative process for me because I'm a gender specialist. I'm an Islamist and gender specialist. So throughout this study, I learned a lot, which I appreciated. But 2 years ago, during February, my little one, he was at the time grade one, and he came home. It was during the Darwin days and etc. He came to me, grade one, elementary school. He came to me and he said, the first thing he told me, he said, "Minu, did you know you were a monkey before?" And then he right away he said, "Not me. You were a monkey before. I was not a monkey. You were a monkey." That was very interesting. What I noticed, Brian, is when it comes to Darwin and when it comes to relating humans to monkey, people don't like it. It doesn't matter if they are practicing Muslim, if they are non-practicing Muslim, which was your point, and if they are scientists or not. That is the relationship that they do not appreciate. That is what I got. Yes.
I have a gender studies question.
Go ahead. I can talk on that for ages. Go ahead.
In the United States on creation evolution issues, you tend to have much higher support for creationism and rejection of evolution among women than among men, and sometimes that's just a factor of women tending to be more religious. But sometimes, even when you control for that, the effect persists. I'm wondering if you saw the same thing in this survey, and if you have any idea about why that might be.
As I told you, we had more females respondents in Canada. In that sense, I cannot tell you it's because of that number. I cannot give you any answer on that because I think we had 51% female in Toronto, in Turkey, as to 46, and we had about a few blank in Turkey. Again, I can't because we haven't analyzed it yet. So I have no idea if women would are considered to be more religious than men. This is brand new to me.
It's something that seems to be consistent.
Yeah.
I
always thought that Muslim women's religiosity would be more visible than what they feel, perhaps, you know. So I didn't know it's a brand new one. Thank you.
Thank you so much.